KLJR News Director Joshua Dixon. Last week, we told you that the Caris Health Redwood Hospital and Clinic were resuming some what are called medically necessary procedures that were delayed due to preparation for a possible surge of COVID-19 patients. Well, that's great, but what exactly does it mean, especially to those patients themselves and to their families? What departments and procedures are now available at Caris Health Redwood that haven't been for the past month or so? What procedures are not being done at this time? What new restrictions or processes are in place? Like, are visitors allowed? And perhaps most importantly, how can people go about making appointments? Are the hospital and clinic contacting people about procedures that had to be canceled? Or is it the patient's responsibility to contact the hospital or clinic to set things up? This week I spoke with Dr. Alan Olson, Medical Director of Caris Health Redwood Surgery, and Surgical Services Manager Annette Mertens about how the hospital and clinic are handling the gradual transition back to full operations. Caris Health Redwood is starting to do some procedures that were considered non-essential or what's the term I'm looking for?
We have decided to do medically necessary, time-sensitive procedures.
Okay, medically necessary, time-sensitive. So what does that mean in terms of what has not been available for the last, say, 6 or 8 weeks?
Screening-type procedures. For example, a screening colonoscopy.
And if somebody needed to have or was expecting to have a procedure like that, how was it handled in terms of not happening? Were the clinic and the hospital contacting people and saying, we will contact you later and to have to postpone this?
Yep, that's exactly what we did.
A little bit of both things, Joshua, because we were at about that time we were seeing patients in the clinic that we knew we wanted to get scheduled for elective sort of things that weren't urgent, and we were telling them already that we would probably even postpone scheduling some of those until a later date. So there were certainly procedures scheduled that got postponed, and then we were sort of looking ahead and even not scheduling some initially.
Now, I've heard all sorts of horror stories about people having not showing up for their cancer treatments, say, at other facilities, or people just being afraid. I mean, they could show up at these procedures, but they weren't because they were afraid of just going to the hospital or the clinic, period. Has that been really necessary for people to be that scared?
I think that we are still going to see people that are reluctant to come in. Part of this whole thing with postponing elective cases was we wanted to make sure that we had enough personal protective equipment or PPE and enough resources that we could take care of people safely. And we're to a point now where we feel that we can start doing a few more of those more time-critical procedures that we're able to proceed safely with those, that we've got the PPE in place that we need, that the staff has had additional training, that we're comfortable that we can deal with those cases in a safe manner.
And so Caris Health Redwood, the hospital and the clinic, are sort of opening up in stages and phases at this point. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
There are things, you know, that the governor needs us to have in place prior to, or methods to trying to tier or prioritize these procedures. So Caris Health and CentraCare have adopted this, it's a scoring system that's developed by the American College of Surgeons called the mm-hmm. AMENS score. So we're using something like that. We're using a scoring system to prioritize patients in conjunction with the surgeons, you know, clinical judgment on the prioritizing of their patients. So I can't say that we're doing, you know, all surgeries. It's really dependent on the patient and what the need is and how we're going to prioritize those first. So I can say fairly comfortably we're not doing anything screening-related type surgeries. We're doing all of these other ones first of people that have had symptoms, are having issues, and then prioritizing them according to this MENTS scoring and the surgeon judgment. And then also, you know, Dr. Olson is our physician liaison for surgery, and so he also participates in reviewing that information so that we can collectively make a good decision about what cases we should be doing and how we can prioritize them.
Could you give some specific examples of types of surgery that are now available that would have the highest priority?
A couple of thoughts come to mind. That one would be, while we're not doing a screening colonoscopy, if we have a patient that's got rectal bleeding that urgently needs a colonoscopy to diagnose their condition so that we can treat it, that might be an example. Another example, if you had someone that was having acute gallbladder symptoms or issues related to gallstones, that's something that would be more urgent, say, than someone that has gallstones but they're not having any symptoms. Those are a couple specific things that come to mind.
So have you actually done them yet, or does it take a while to sort of gear up and get going again?
It does take a little time to gear up and get going. There are some, you know, things that, all of these things that are in place that we're trying to look at, so that does take a little bit of additional time. But yes, we have started doing some procedures this week.
So at this point, are the hospital and clinic contacting people about procedures that have been canceled and trying to reschedule, or is it the patient's responsibility to be contacting the hospital and the clinic to set these things up?
The surgery department or the clinic is contacting these patients to go ahead, you know, when we're able to move forward with those. But if the patients are having any increased symptoms, you know, if they're having additional problems, we don't want them to wait. You know, we want them to be contacting their primary care provider to make sure, you know, maybe they do need to be seen sooner.
In fact, we encourage people, if in doubt, by all means, call the clinic, because we can help you get an appointment, certainly if you need to, whether that's in person or via the internet, and then we can address those issues and we can get anything scheduled that we feel we need to.
And when people do have the procedures done at the hospital or the clinic now, what new restrictions or processes are in place that maybe weren't in place 6 weeks ago? Like specifically, people having to come in prepared in some way, or are visitors allowed to visit with patients?
Currently, we do have visitor restrictions. We don't foresee that that's changing anytime soon. So they will be going over the visitor restrictions with you, like on a pre-op call. When we call our patients prior to coming, they will also have to be screened for any of the COVID symptoms. And also, if they are having an intubating type procedure, or we call it aerosolizing because there's multiple different ways that that can happen, they would also need to have a COVID test prior to the procedure that would have to be negative. So there are a lot of things that we would be visiting with the patients about and educating them about prior to their procedure to make sure that they understood all of those things before they arrive.
And my standard last question here is, what am I forgetting to ask? What is something you would like people to know about that I haven't asked about?
Well, my comment would be that the fact that we're sort of loosening up and starting to do a few more things might lead some to the conclusion that we're over the hump and we don't have to worry about this virus thing any longer. And I don't think that's true. I suspect that we have not seen our true surge yet. And all of this is really fluid and needs to be flexible. There is a potential that we could see more of a surge, and then we would have to potentially scale back on some of those elective things yet in the future. So stay tuned. We're hoping that for the best, but we need to be prepared for the worst as well.
That was going to be my comment too. Same thing as Dr. Olsa said, that this is always fluid. Just because we are able to perform more time-sensitive surgeries at this point in time, that could change. And so, you know, have some patience and some grace as, you know, everyone's moving through this, and just know that a surge could come later or at another time in which we need to back off. And then, again, when that slows down, that we're able to resume. It's dependent on a lot of different things. There are a lot of different triggers.